thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news, interviews from the biggest names in the industry, and game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll. Here's your host, the man with the best beard in daily fantasy, Crazy Gaby.
Howdy. Welcome. As the voice said, I am Crazy Gaby, and I'm flying solo here on today's podcast. It is a beautiful day for some daily fantasy baseball. Nice 9-game slate for us to sink our teeth into in just a minute. But it's a beautiful day for another reason, because my friends, once again, the cock has walked. I'm talking, of course, about the rooster, Carlos Martinez. Watch him strut his way right into our hearts. Another quality start for the rooster. 6 innings strong, 6 strikeouts, picked up the win. Only allowed 2 hits, 1 earned run. He is the man. And my only regret is that he pitched on the weekends where I don't normally play. And that means I didn't really get a chance to share in his magnificence with all of you. I was off social media all weekend, something I'm trying to do for the family. So I didn't get a chance to boast loudly. And I think his next start is actually on a Saturday against the Padres. So I'm going to give you some hashtag future analysis and say next Saturday you should probably roster the Rooster in your lineups against the Padres. Strike out more than any other team over the past 30 days against right-handed pitching, as long as those numbers did not change over the weekend. Got a couple of things to talk about here with you folks today before we launch into some daily fantasy baseball talk. The first of which is the weekly FDP free rolls. That is FanDuel points. The weekly FanDuel points free rolls. Now, these are a little different from the monthly free rolls that you normally see yourself entered into. You know, you get the email saying that your monthly free roll entries are ready. You got to find the contest in the lobby, etc., etc. But these contests are set up so that at the end of every week, and there's like a qualifying period, you earn X number of FDP, and they're actually going to give out tickets to whatever contest it is they're promoting for that week. So it just so happens to be the $1 million Super Monster on June 30th that you will be playing for tickets for tonight. So let me give you a rundown of exactly how this works real quick. Level 1, if you earn between 1,000 and 1,999 FDP between the 23rd and the 27th of June, you are able to enter into the Level 1 free roll, where there are going to be 3 seats given away to the $1 million Super Monster. Level 2 is between 2,007 and 7,499 FDP. That free roll awards 7 seats. That's the Level 2. The Level 3 is 7,500 and 19,999 FDP. That one's going to award a whopping 17 seats. And then the Level 4. If you have been diligent and on your game, playing in contest every single day at FanDuel, you might just have over 20,000 FDP in the last week. And that means you'll be entered into the Level 4 free roll, where 40 seats are being given away to the $1 million Super Monster. Make sure you check the lobby today. Check your email inbox. You don't want to miss out on these bad boys. I know I've done it a lot of times in the past. Other people have. We forgot to enter our monthly FDP free rolls. Well, now that the stakes have been raised, that the free rolls are weekly, you absolutely cannot afford to miss out. So just keep an eye out for that. And as a community, let's all help remind one another. Drop a couple tweets if you have a chance. Tell people about it. Make sure you spread the word. It's all about camaraderie, my friends. All about camaraderie. I'll give you my album of the day. No words to describe. Well, that's a little corny, but this is an all-instrumental band. It's a band called Hammock. And if you're familiar with such bands as Explosions in the Sky, The American Dollar, those are two that come to my mind that I really like their sound. And they're kind of good ambient music that really builds up to a roaring crescendo after it starts as like a tiny seed almost, you know, with it reminds me a lot of kind of like modern day orchestra music. I don't know what orchestral is, but Hammock is the band. The album is Raising Your Voice, Trying to Stop an Echo. It's released from way back in 2006, but in my opinion, it is their best work. I like it a lot. And cool fact about this band, they actually are originated in Nashville. And that is, of course, where Rotogrinders is based. So maybe if we ever have some sort of Rotogrinders event, we can have Hammock come out and play the background music. Maybe they could have a song. They could make a song for the entirety of a sweat. You know, I talked about how they do those building crescendos and everything, like a 3-hour song that just continues to get... Anyways, this is a terrible idea. I'm rambling at the moment, but that's okay, because we're going to dive right into a topic that I know all of you want to hear about, which is tonight's Daily Fantasy Baseball Slate. The weather for tonight looks pretty good. Kevin Roth has said there is one spot in Cincinnati. The storms are mainly going to move through earlier in the day, so it doesn't look like there's going to be too much of a concern. But he did give this a yellow with a little bit of orange mixed in. Yellow being you know, the second worst color, and then orange, of course, being full on avoid if a contest were ever completely orange. So he is a little, he is a little worried about this one. Does advise caution, says that you should probably build your early lineups, especially if you're not going to have a lot of time to change them without pitchers from this one, which, considering the state of pitching today, shouldn't be too difficult to fade the pitchers in this one. It's a shit show out there today, as we'll talk about in just a second, but you should be good in this one, and I'm expecting a more optimistic forecast once Kevin Roth gets back at it around 6 o'clock Eastern this evening. Let's go ahead and kick it off with Milwaukee at Philadelphia. Jimmy Nelson taking on Sean O'Sullivan, and this game got an 8-run total. And what really sticks out to you right off the bat is Milwaukee being a minus 143 favorite in a game with an 8-run total. The Brewers have been one of the more futile offenses in Major League Baseball this season. They've just been having a rough go of it. In fact, this was the cause for a lot of discussion on Friday night, I believe. There were quite a few people who were debating. It was a great conversation. But really, what should we weigh more? Should we weigh the fact that the Brewers have historically been great hitters? Or should we give more credence to the fact that they have been doing terrible this season? And of course, we pulled up the numbers for each player. You know, you examine their numbers since 2013, and these guys are stellar hitters. Then you look at what they've done this year, and a lot of these guys are getting around 150, 200 plate appearances, and they're just not putting it together this year. I like to balance out those factors. I will tell you one thing. When it's guys that are older and they start to decline, I'm more inclined to believe that the decline is real, as opposed to a young guy, if he has improved a lot over the past, you know, year and a half, whatever it might be, I'm more inclined to believe that this is an actual skill improvement, you know. And that's, it's not a groundbreaking concept. This isn't reinventing the wheel. Younger players tend to get better. Older players tend to decline in skill. It's just, it's kind of the way the world works. Now, obviously, there's a lot more to it than that. It's a very complex issue. And in fact, I plan on doing a standalone podcast on sample sizes. I am by no means the authority on it, but I would like to give my thoughts and maybe ignite a discussion within the community that can help us all become better daily fantasy players. I will say this, and I think there's a pretty badass quote. I don't know if anyone's ever said this before. If you have, I really apologize for stealing it. But the best thing I can think of in one sentence to say about sample size is you have to realize we are always coming closer to the truth while never actually arriving. And what that means is, every new piece of information we add to a rolling sample size, whatever that rolling number may be, you know, 3 years, 2.5 years, 2 years, every number we add is bringing us closer to the true value of a player. But due to the nature of sample size and the fact that it's constantly changing, we'll never technically arrive at exactly what a player is. It's always going to be a close approximation. And of course, the more plate appearances, the more innings pitched, the better opportunity we have to accurately assess that player. But still, at the end of the day, it's always going to be an approximation. So that's why it's very important to understand how the peripheral indicators line up. And then you can really make an educated guess as to exactly why the numbers look that way instead of just sort of believing them. And again, that is not a knock on anybody. I love the discussion that everybody had. If you're one of the folks who was part of that and you're listening, thank you very much. Those are the types of discussions on Twitter that I love. I won't lie. I hate it when people, you know, on the timeline, you know, should I start this guy or that guy? Well, I mean, you know, there's lots of great content at Rotogrinders, and there's expert chat, and there's shows where people answer questions like that. Twitter for me, if I'm going to be on it, I would much rather be having an enriching conversation rather than just answering start-sit questions. And in fact, I don't think I've answered a start-sit question in probably about 6 months. I just stopped doing it. So back to this game, and sorry for the tangent, just kind of wanted to give my thoughts on the Brewers offense, because they are sort of an enigma and maybe the most dynamic case of sample size versus what we're seeing right now in all of Major League Baseball. But you still got them with a high team total in runs. You've got them facing off against arguably the worst pitcher in Major League Baseball in Sean O'Sullivan. The guy is a friend to home runs everywhere. So there should be at least a couple of dongs in this game tonight. And if we're going to believe long-term sample size, Adam Lind, Scooter Gennett, Carlos Gomez, Ryan Braun, Jonathan Lucroy, all players that can smash right-handed pitching, and all players you should probably have some exposure to. But for me, the primary target is going to be Adam Lind. And that's mainly because he's not only done it over the course of his career, he's also done it lately as well. He's a guy who has been basically the only consistent asset on offense that the Milwaukee Brewers have had all season. You know, everybody else has kind of fallen away. He's a little bit worse than he has been in the past. He's not quite as dynamic as he's been in recent seasons. But still, I think a lot of that has to do with the offense around him being so futile and pitchers being able to really challenge him as opposed to give him something hittable. He has a 142 WRC+, plus, a 382 WOBA, a 217 ISO with just an 18.5% strikeout rate paired up with a 10.7% walk rate. So Adam Lind, my preferred piece of exposure to Sean O'Sullivan, but I can't fault you if you go anywhere else, and I will in fact have quite a few Milwaukee Brewers stacks this evening. On the other side here, Jimmy Nelson, I think, is one of your better pitcher options on the night. Look, this is just a bad night for pitchers, so we're going to have to... what it reminds me of is, have you ever seen that that thing that would have showed up on Facebook or something? It's one of those pictures with words, and it'll say, like, you know, how to find food in the kitchen or whatever. You know, go into the kitchen, open your fridge, find nothing, close the door, lower standards, repeat. And that's kind of what tonight's pitching slate is like. You, on first glance, see all these pitchers, and you think to yourself, I don't want anything to do with any of these guys. And then once you've went through all 18 of them, you realize you actually have to pick a few of them to play on your rosters tonight. And so you just have to lower your standards and perhaps become a little more relaxed on what represents a solid pitching option for the evening. I am inclined to go with Jimmy Nelson because he's a young guy and he has shown promise in the past. Now, his strikeout rate is down from where it was to start the year, and that was the big question, was could he maintain his minor league strikeout rate and translate that over to the majors? So far, it hasn't happened. He's sitting a little bit below league average strikeout rate at 19.6%, but he has a 10.6% swinging strike rate, which does promise better things are coming down the road. The walk rate is a little concerning at 8.6%, but what are you going to do on a night like tonight? And he's basically right around a 4 ERA pitcher at this point in his career. Against the Phillies, I will take it. And given the fact that Sean O'Sullivan's on the other side, I'm hoping that the Brewers bats can give him the run support necessary to actually take this one home. Next up, we got the Los Angeles Dodgers taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Mike Bolsinger facing off against Alan Webster, and Bolsinger a -150 favorite here. I like Bolsinger a lot, but the 9-run total is obviously disconcerting, and the fact that the Diamondbacks have been hitting a little better lately is also a strike against him. I will have some Bolsinger shares this evening, again, for no other reason than I don't really love any one pitcher, so I'm going to diversify much more than I normally would in tournaments. But he does have a 23.4% strikeout rate. Now, the swinging strike rate is below league average, 8.4%, which kind of makes me think it's a little bit of fool's gold. And he also has a 9.4% base on ball rate. So, you know, I'm not expecting huge things from the guy. He's been hit hard, 31.2% hard contact rate. I'm just not expecting the world from him. But I think tonight, if you can get 8 fantasy points from your starting pitcher, you are in a pretty good spot regardless of you know, what type of contest you are playing. I think that it's probably like the gold standard is right around 8 to 10 points. Anything more than 10, and you're just you're playing with house money at this point. I am going to be taking a ton of Dodgers bats. They are the best team in baseball against right-handed pitching. Been a little cold over the past month, but you know what? That happens. Not a big deal. They were only the 10th best offense in baseball over the last 30 days, which by no means is terrible. And they're still significantly ahead of all other teams in terms of WOBA and WRC+. against right-handed pitching. Their team ISO of 188 is just stupid. A team ISO should not be that high. And they don't even strike out a lot, 19.5% strikeout rate. So basically, you just go down the list. Jacques Peterson, Justin Turner, Yasiel Puig, Adrian Gonzalez, Andre Ethier, Yasmani Grandal, even Jimmy Rollins if you need a shortstop punt. All these guys viable, all of them in play. And just your daily reminder that Justin Turner has been the best hitter in baseball over the last calendar year. The dude is phenomenal. And in 150 plate appearances versus right-handed pitching just this season alone, has a 215 WRC plus to go with a 480 WOBA, a 333 ISO, and just a 12.9% strikeout rate. Dude is feeling it. So Justin Turner, my preferred target at third base, especially because he doesn't, A, have the name recognition that other players do, like Todd Frazier, Manny Machado, and Nolan Arenado, so he's generally lower owned than those guys when his price gets up there. And he's also still significantly less expensive than all those aforementioned names. So Justin Turner should probably be your number one target at third base this evening. Also the hitting environment, too. Going from Dodger Stadium to Chase is a big improvement as far as power numbers are concerned. Alan Webster, a gas can of the highest quality. Let's go ahead and take it to Boston at Toronto, 7:05. Yeah, why does it matter when the first pitch starts? I'm just kind of reading what's on the screen here, but you don't really care when the first pitch is thrown for this game. What you care about is the total, 8.5 runs, minus 122 for R.A. Dickey against Clay Buchholz. And as much as I like Clay Buchholz and his resurgence this year, he has grown on me this season to the point where he's actually become a pet pitcher of mine, somebody I try to target. I actively look for reasons to play him. And look, tonight I have a reason to play him. It's just that everybody is in play that has a pulse at the pitching position. But I can't load up a lot on a guy, especially a guy who has had some issues in the past, against the Blue Jays at Rogers Center. Just that's signing your own death warrant, or death wish warrant, whatever, if you decide to go all in on him. I will have some shares, though, because he does have the strikeout stuff to make any team in Major League Baseball pay. He's got a 23.1% K rate, backed up by an 11.2% swinging strike rate, and just a 5.8% base on ball rate. All of his indicators agree that this guy is right around a 3 ERA pitcher, and he's definitely elite. He's gone back to the elite level once again after dealing with some injuries the past few seasons. On the flip side here, R.A. Dickey has terrible batter versus pitcher numbers against basically the entire Boston Red Sox team, and that really only matters to me because I tend to give a little more credence to batter versus pitcher versus knuckleballers. This is something that is new for me this season, not in the sense that I never knew of batter versus pitcher, but some very respected people that I've talked to have sort of turned me on to the fact that knuckleball prediction is a little more solid in terms of BVP just because it is such a unique scenario. Some guys see the knuckleball well and they hit it. Some guys do not. David Ortiz, Mike Napoli, Pablo Sandoval, Xander Bogaerts, Hanley Ramirez, who I'm not sure if he's playing tonight or not, and Dustin Pedroia being the worst of them all, but all those guys have really good numbers against R.A. Dickey. So, basically feel fine targeting pretty much any Boston Red Sox, getting a park boost to Rogers Center, the fact that this game does have a fairly high total, and the fact that the Red Sox have actually been a top 10 offensive team over the past 30 days. They've really picked it up after starting the season slowly. We've got Texas and Baltimore squaring off next. Wandy Rodriguez and Bud Norris, the two pitchers. So obviously this one should be a fireworks-laden contest. 9-run total, and Bud Norris is a minus 133 favorite. And both of these pitchers are guys you should be targeting. I will have zero shares of Wandy Rodriguez or Bud Norris. Both guys are prone to explode. Wandy Rodriguez, 32.1% hard contact rate. Bud Norris has an astounding 37.4% hard contact rate. And when you're not striking anybody out on just a 15.4% strikeout rate, that is going to come back to bite you in the ass, which we see with his ERA, 6.70. And even his FIP and his XFIP are near 5. So the guy's just bad, not good. And Wandy Rodriguez, kind of the same problem. Doesn't strike out anybody, pitches to contact, and really just doesn't have an out pitch to take guys off the off their game and really kind of punish them for chasing after his junk that he throws. So I will be loading up on hitters from both sides. A couple of my favorites are for Baltimore. I really like Steve Pierce. Continues to be really undervalued. And he's a crusher against left-handed pitching. Now, this season, he's had a little bit of a struggle, but it's only 51 plate appearances. And I'm inclined to go with his larger sample size since 2013, where he actually has a 154 WRC+, plus, a 397 WOBA, and a 256 ISO. That's also paired up with a 14% K rate and a 10.8% base on ball rate. This guy's essentially been elite against left-handed pitching over the last 3 years. And I'll give him the benefit of the doubt tonight, especially in this hitting environment, especially against Wandy Rodriguez. And pretty much any of these right-handed bats for the Baltimore Orioles are in play. J.J. Hardy has some great BVP versus Wandy Rodriguez. I know that should be a tertiary factor, not something that you're mainly basing your decisions off of. But it is interesting to note that he is 7 for 24 with 2 home runs and 4 doubles. Certainly sees the ball coming out of Wandy's hand very well, it would seem. On the Texas side, Prince Fielder, Mitch Moreland, Joey Gallo, pretty much the usuals are the ones you're going to want to target here. Cleveland at Tampa Bay, Cody Anderson taking on Nate Carnes. Did a little recon on Cody Anderson. Really just a guy who in the minors had a below 20% strikeout rate, so you don't expect him to do much in the majors, which kind of takes away any upside he might have. The Rays do strike out a little bit at times with guys like Butler and Souza being free swingers up there. So not really a chance for Cody Anderson to take advantage of one of Tampa's weaknesses. And I'm going to probably have a couple of Ray stacks in tournaments. David DeJesus, Kevin Kiermaier, Evan Longoria, Joey Butler, Steven Souza, all those guys capable of putting up runs in a hurry, and Cody Anderson does not scare me. This game, by the way, a 7-run total with Nathan Carnes as a minus 127 favorite. Carnes, not somebody that scares me either, and in fact, he's somebody I believe you should pick on. A 34.2% hard contact rate means that he is getting lit up right now, and just a 7.6% swinging strike rate, which means his 21.6% strikeout rate is probably due for a little bit of negative regression. So I think Nate Carnes has room to be a little worse than he's actually pitched so far this season. And despite the fact that the Indians' offense has been struggling, they are still a powerhouse against right-handed pitching. They clock in, actually, as the 14th best team over the course of the season. But just as recently as 2 weeks ago, they were within the top 10, easily within the top 10. I tend to believe that they'll get back there. I think they're just going through a funk right now. And your guy, normal guys like Brandon Moss, Michael Brantley, Jason Kipnis, David Murphy, Carlos Santana, all guys that are going to be in play for me this evening against Nate Carnes. Kansas City at Houston, and let the great Joe Blanton debate begin. Because, you know, you take a look at what Joe Blanton's done this season, and how could you not pick him tonight, right? The Houston Astros love to strike out against right-handed pitching 26% of the time. Over the past 30 days, the Houston Astros have struck out 26.1% of the time against all pitchers. But here's the thing. The Houston Astros have a 195 ISO over the past 30 days, and just over the season against right-handed pitching, they have a 192 ISO. This is a team that smashes right-handed pitching. They have been on fire as of late, top five offense over the past 30 days. And Joe Blanton is nowhere near as good as some of his numbers this season indicate. We have a huge sample size on this guy. We have seen what he can actually do. And if you need any convincing, just go to Fangraphs and look at the dude's player history. He's an exercise in futility. The 23.8% strikeout rate with the 11.1% swinging strikeout rate will absolutely not stand for much longer. I say get, if you've played Joe Blanton so far, or if you've avoided stacking against him so far, good for you. You did great. It's time to face reality and jump off that train before it crashes. He's got a strand rate of 84.9%, a 264 BABIP against, and a 40.5% hard contact rate. You did not hear that incorrectly, folks. A 40.5% hard contact rate. Please jump off the Joe Blanton Express before you die in a fiery, mangled heap at the bottom of a ravine. I will be stacking Astros indiscriminately tonight as my favorite stack of the night. Not just because I like picking on Joe Blanton here, but also because I think Joe Blanton will be a very highly owned tournament pitcher tonight. And should the Astros go off like I believe they are capable of, you will not only invalidate a large number of Joe Blanton lineups, you will also be shooting yourself up the rankings by stacking Houston Astros. So has a little bit of a two-pronged effect, and it's a little bit of metagaming. But I do think that a slightly heavy lean towards Houston Astros bats in the stack tonight might just be the way to gain tournament superiority. Next up, we have the Kansas City Royals and their struggles over the past month, frankly, against Lance McCullers, who's been one of the bigger surprises in Major League Baseball this season. Unlike Joe Blanton, Lance McCullers' 27.4% strikeout rate backed up by a 10.4% swinging strike rate looks like it's actually going to be real. Now, he carries an elevated base on ball rate of 8.4%, but when you look at the FIP, the XFIP, they match up with the ERA, at least to a reasonable measure. And he only has a 25.4% hard contact rate. So guys are not getting the jump on him. For reference, that's 15 percentage points below our man Joe Blanton. Lance McCullers is the real deal. And though the Kansas City Royals do not strike out very often, especially against right-handed pitching, just a 15.9% strikeout rate, I absolutely believe that McCullers has tournament upside tonight. Again, it's that whole opening the refrigerator door after you've already looked a couple of times. Your standards have to be lowered, and listen, the piece of analysis that really sells it for me is the Royals have been a bottom 10 offense over the past 30 days with a strikeout rate that has ever so small increased to 16.6%. So it's not like a huge amount of strikeouts more, but it is showing that they are trending in the wrong direction. That is enough for me to get Lance McCullers shares in a lot of my tournament lineups tonight. New York Yankees at Los Angeles Angels. CC Sabathia taking on CJ Wilson. Wilson a minus 125 favorite at Angel Stadium. It's an 8-run total, and just can't be more clear. Stack against CC Sabathia. The home run issues are real. The velocity is gone. He has not adjusted his pitching style. Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, Eric Ibar, David Freese, who is sneakily a great hitter against left-handed pitching. All those guys in play. And on the other side here, we know who CJ Wilson is as well. Struggles a little bit against right-handed batters. Has a little bit of velocity. It's a pretty decent pitcher, but the Yankees are a top-five team over the season against left-handed pitching. 108 team WRC plus, 328 wOBA, and a 171 team ISO. And they've also been flat out the number one team in baseball offensively over the past 30 days. They're on fire with a 122 WRC plus, a 349 wOBA, and a 181 ISO with just a 17.6% strikeout rate. I'll have zero shares of any of these pitchers, and I will be loading up on bats from both sides. It's just as simple as that. Chris Young has actually been on fire this season against left-handed pitching. It's only 76 plate appearances, but 227 WRC plus, 499 wOBA, and a 343 ISO. The man is feeling it, and you can pretty much say the same against any of these guys for the Yankees against left-handed pitching. They all see lefties extremely well. Chase Headley better from the right-hand side of the plate against lefties. Mark Teixeira has a good amount of power, 1.67 ISO, and what really stands out to me about him, though, is a 14.9% K rate from the right-hand side, but a 16.1% base on ball rate. So a walk rate that is higher than your strikeout rate, and your strikeout rate isn't even that low. It's not like a Victor Martinez or a Michael Brantley number. It's a pretty impressive feat. I think Mark Teixeira, a great play tonight, too. And then Alex Rodriguez, historically been a lefty masher. Even though he's been better against righties this year, you can absolutely target him tonight. He has an astounding 20% base on ball rate over the last three seasons against left-handed pitching. I guess technically two seasons, because you can't really count last year. But who cares? Minnesota at Cincinnati, 7.5 run total, minus 160 for Mike Leake. This is the game we talked a little bit about earlier as having some weather concerns, and I hope the weather concerns clear up, because Mike Leake is actually a pitcher I will be targeting tonight. Listen, I make no claims to being a huge Mike Leake fan. I'm not like a supporter of him or think that he is something special, but on a night like tonight, again, you're looking for any reason to take a particular player. Because it stands out. Well, the Twins are the 24th best team, so they're bottom 10 against right-handed pitching. They strike out 20% of the time, and I think Mike Leake you know, he's someone who's pretty solid against righties, really struggles against lefties. This Twins lineup has a real trouble producing left-handed batters who can give righties issues. Eddie Rosario has been a revelation for them. He's been great so far this year. But old man Joe Mauer, you know, the ghost of Joe Mauer, not anything that really scares you, not a lot of power in that bat to take advantage of Great American Ballpark. And really, outside of that, who else are you going with that's a lefty there that you really feel confident about? So I do think the skill set matches up well for Mike Leake tonight. He's somebody I'll have a lot of shares of as long as that forecast clears up. But just keep an eye on that because you don't want to end up with your hand down your pants, a bunch of Mike Leake shares, and ends up being a delay in the second inning and he never comes back. I will be taking lots of hitters against Mike Pelfrey tonight, FYI. Pelfrey, somebody who at the beginning of the season looked like a potential Cy Young candidate, except all of us knew he absolutely was not a potential Cy Young candidate. He still sits with a 3.06 ERA, but regression came, and it is going to continue to come. You cannot pitch the way he pitches with an 11.5% K rate and maintain a 5.3% swing and strike rate and continue to be effective in Major League Baseball. It just does not work that way. I think that he'll be over 4 as his ERA within 2 or 3 starts. And the only thing in his profile that really stands out to me that gives me cause for concern taking hitters against him is a 20.1% hard contact rate. Basically, it looks like he's throwing a lot of stuff that are keeping guys off balance and inducing weak contact. That's what I'm really going to be looking at moving forward with Mike Pelfrey. But Joey Votto, great BVP versus Mike Pelfrey. Again, BVP not something that I use to make my decisions, but I will absolutely let it influence my decisions. Joey Votto, 5-for-14 with 3 home runs and a double. So absolutely an opportunity there to gain a leg up on the competition. Let's go ahead and move to our last game of the night. Colorado at Oakland, 8-run total, -165 for Kendall Graveman against the Rockies. And as much as I dislike Kendall Graveman, another guy that I'm not super sold on, the Rockies away from Coors Field with this dilapidated lineup. I mean, you're really worried about Charlie Blackmon and Nolan Arenado at this point. Tulowitzki, I guess, but away from Coors even, he's not a huge threat. I'm going to have some shares of Kendall Graveman as... painful as it is for me to say that, as scary as it is, I will have some shares of him. And I think I'll have some shares of David Hale as well. Now, David Hale has a phenomenally bad matchup. The Athletics are a top 10 team against right-handed pitching. They strike out just 17.3% of the time. They will load up with lots of left-handed batters against this guy. But David Hale, again, we're looking today for reasons to play guys because we already have plenty of reasons to not play them. David Hale has an 11.9% swinging strike rate and a 19.6% K rate, which I think can be improved upon. And in fact, you know, if he didn't pitch at Coors so damn much, I definitely think it would be better than it is. No stat is more telling, though, than XFIP, which normalizes home runs to neutral. He has a 3.62 XFIP, whereas his FIP and his ERA are both over 5. I think that's the Coors effect. Come full circle, 20.5% home run to fly ball ratio, 2.04 home runs per 9 innings. You take him out of Coors and you put him in one of the better pitcher's ballparks in Major League Baseball with the Oco. I think there could be something here. Again, it's not a promise. It's not a he's my favorite pitcher on the slate. I just think he has a legitimate skill set, and I think that the biggest weakness he's shown this far, which is allowing home runs at Coors Field, could easily be mitigated this evening. And I'm not saying he'll twirl a gem, but we're looking for those 8 fantasy points. So definitely someone in consideration. Kendall Graveman, nothing special all the way around, except for the fact that he's pitching an Oco against a Rockies team getting a huge downgrade. So he's worth a share or two in tournaments. And if you haven't noticed the theme so far as we reach the end of the podcast, the theme is that you probably should be playing tournaments tonight and go a little easy on the cash games because there's just not a reliable starting pitcher option for you to roll with this evening. I'm not going to blame you or fault you if you play cash games, but tonight might be a night to invest a little more in tournaments than you do in cash and diversify your shares of players, especially pitchers, a little bit more than you normally would. Question of the day for all of you folks. Are you mainly a cash game player or a tournament player? As we sit here and talk about, you know, playing tournaments a little more tonight, maybe going easy on the cash, do you have one style or the other that you prefer to play? Some guys play both. Some only play one type. Which are you and why? I'd love to have that discussion with you guys on Twitter. Hit me up at CrazyGaby. And, of course, as always, please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. It helps us with the Google machine, so we appreciate that a ton. Make sure you enter your weekly FDP free roll contest at FanDuel. Big tip of the hat to FanDuel for putting those on. Thank you very much. We as players love and appreciate that. And make sure you tune in for some of the upcoming live shows today. We got 3:30 with Boggs Light and Draft Cheat. These, of course, all Eastern times. 4:30 with myself and Rad Fad. Good to be back with him again. 5:30 will be Britt Devine and Al Smizzle on Grinders Live. 6:30 is EMAC for the last call with Kevin Roth as a special guest. And at 6 o'clock Eastern on Channel 87 Sirius XM Fantasy, Dan and STL Cardinal is going to be holding down the fort there until lineups lock. So lots of shows for you to choose from. Lots of live programming for you to get all the analysis you need to build a better lineup. And on that note, I will see you guys later. Be a man. Grow a beard.
Thanks for listening to the Daily Fantasy Fix podcast. Head to rotogrinders.com and check out all of our daily fantasy content. Remember to follow us on Twitter @RotoGrinders for breaking news and expert analysis.